Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the cruise ship industry gets some excellent scores for cleanliness on the high seas, and the new basic airfares are obviously causing major confusion.
We are, of course, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at 3:20 we pay homage to one of Sacramento's great rock and roll bands. Joining us live in the studio, it's the Rutabaga Boogie Band.
And if you don't believe me, if you were here, you would see that there is live in-studio stuff all over the place. It's a fun Sunday afternoon here at KFBK. And if we survive that performance at 3:35, we are joined by travel gal Jessica Monsell to talk about destination weddings. If you know someone who is planning or thinking about a wedding in a magnificent place, we have some terrific tips for you.
And along that same line at 3:50, videographer Matt Dockery is our guest. Now, Matt lives in Key West, and one of his specialties is destination weddings. He shares his take along with stories of a couple of destination weddings that, well, didn't turn out exactly how they were supposed to.
You did that very well.
Thank you. Videographer Matt Dockery. I had to practice that like 10 times.
The great thing about this program is every show is different, and today is no exception. If you're new here or a returning visitor, welcome to the newest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens, out on the roof, 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Top of the afternoon to you. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Steve LaRosa and part of the band have walked into the studio. It's going to be a fun day today, Mark.
Let's turn my microphone on here.
There you go. I mean, it's not often we get live in studio music. And by the way, Luis, our engineer, just informed me that we're going to go Facebook Live.
I see.
With the band.
Wow.
Might tell the band, Steve. They might want to call their wives so we could have at least six people
I
watching.
I don't know. We don't really have a face for something
books.
Live. It's more of a face for radio type
if
of thing.
If I would have known, I would have worn pants.
How are you, sir? I survived the Sports Leisure Vacation Spring Tour Preview Day yesterday. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. And tell me, I know this is something that happens every year.
It does.
I understand you were back out at the KVIE, one of your favorite hangout spots. And tell me how it went.
Two capacity crowds of just about 200 people each in the morning and the afternoon. And rolling out a bunch of new trips for you. For those of you who don't know, Sports Leisure Vacations, who underwrites this program, is a tour company that provides vacations for mostly mature travelers, upscale vacations that are not really cookie cutter, that are kind of unique and interesting one-off type vacations. And yesterday we announced a whole string of new things, fall and holiday things, including you can ride the Empire Builder from Chicago to Seattle. You can go to Catalina Island with us. You can go to New England and see the fall colors. You can go to Mammoth Lakes in the fall. A couple of new mystery tours were announced.
Now, is this these trips that you're talking about here, because
mm-hmm.
we know you have an annual catalog that you put out, are these some of the items that are in that, or are
these
add-ons?
No, these are new. These are things
okay.
Twice a year we do this, so in the spring is not quite of as big a rollout as the fall, but we have a couple of mystery tours for folks who are willing to put up their money not knowing exactly where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
A coach trip to Laughlin and Las Vegas. In the fall, in November, we do a rail trip around California, riding a bunch of trains. We have a trip to New York over Thanksgiving we've been doing for many years, and another Thanksgiving offering this year, an overnight at the National Hotel in Jackson, which is haunted, by the way. Chris Galloway and I are combining a couple of Washington destinations, Leavenworth and Spokane, for a special December package. We have a trip going down to the Ritz-Carlton in Half Moon Bay for a couple nights. For folks who have never stayed in a Ritz-Carlton, we have a way of finding out when hotels are, you know, when the one or two nights of the year when the rates, they just can't fill the rooms and the rates are really
Ooh.
Inexpensive. So a nice stay at the Ritz. Speaking of nice hotels, the Apple Farm down in San Luis Obispo is one of our destinations of December. We have a trip to Coos Bay over Christmas time because they have some great Christmas lights up there, the Rose Parade. Key Largo and Key West, and overnight at the Awani Hotel next winter. And so all that stuff was announced yesterday at KVIE.
And with that being said, for those that may have missed that, can they go to online and check that out?
They can't quite yet.
Not yet.
This was kind
Pretty
of a, this was a true preview yesterday for the folks who came out.
But eventually?
Yes. About the end of the week, our newsletter will go to press, and then the stuff will be posted. All the new tours will be posted online.
By the way, you can follow along with the show at travelguysradio.com. Well, let's get to it. We got lots to do today, so without further ado, it's time for the travel news. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Hey there. Thomas Cook says, having surveyed a couple 3,000 Europeans and Brits, that they are going to stop. Actually, they surveyed 18,000. They apparently for years have kind of had a policy of assuming that Brits would like to be with Brits and Scandinavians would like to be with Scandinavians. So when you booked with a package with Thomas Cook Travel, they put you in a hotel specifically with like kind, let's say.
Okay.
Well, what they found out was, and this doesn't surprise me at all as being kind of a lifetime traveler, is that folks who travel don't necessarily want to be with people from their own country or their own region of
well,
the world.
A lot of times you travel for that cultural experience.
Yeah, the chance to meet new people and learn how they live and maybe, you know, make a new friend, or especially with technology and Facebook and things. I hear all the time from people who met somebody on the other side of the country or the other side of the world, and they're still communicating with that person. And so anyway, Thomas Cook has announced that from now on, they are going to start putting people just wherever they would like to be and mixing things up a little bit more. And it's kind of a
makes sense.
It's kind of interesting. Listen, this comes from one of our mailbag items. I'm not going to deviate for a whole mailbag segment today. We don't have time, but I did want to bring this up. This is of someone who wrote in, and they were denied boarding in San Francisco on a trip from San Francisco to Copenhagen a few weeks ago. They're a frequent traveler on that route, and the reason they were denied was because their passport was only good for 3 months after the time they were going to depart.
Boy, how many times have we talked about
this? So the summer is coming up, so just make sure that if you're going to travel internationally, that your passport is good for at least 6 months after the date you're scheduled to return to the United States. Extremely, extremely important. Otherwise, you're going to get to the airport, you're going to go through customs, they're not going to let you go. You're going to have to, you're going to be out a very expensive plane ticket, most likely, and there's not going to be anything that anybody can do for you. So make sure those passports are good for a minimum of 6 months after when you travel. Airline most likely to reward you for giving up your seat on an oversold flight. Which airline has to ask the most people and rewards the most people for giving up their seat? I would have guessed Southwest, because they notoriously overbook their planes.
Yeah, United.
It's actually Delta.
Delta.
Delta, they have roughly 10 volunteers per 10,000 passengers that are compensated. So your chance is 1 in 1,000 on Delta. United is 7.2. Southwest is roughly half of that. All the way down to Hawaiian, which is 0.3. So that is like one one person per 30,000 customers on Hawaiian. So they are very good at managing. So anyway, if you're looking to be what's the name of our guy who Schleppig?
Ben
Schleppig, yes.
One mile at a time.
Yeah, who goes around when he was a kid and used to try to figure out which flight would be overbooked so he could get that reward. But anyway, Delta is the place to go now. Cruise ship reports that they have gotten some great scores for health on board ships. Both Holland America and Carnival are reporting that a number of their ships have scored perfectly from United States public health inspections. That is not easy to do. And if you recall, in recent years, cruise ship sanitation has been kind of an issue. They've had some real problems. The norovirus has been floating around. Holland America particularly has had some really impressive scores. 7 of their ships have scored 100 over on unannounced public health inspections, which is really difficult to do. Holland America attributes some of this, Tom, to something kind of interesting. If you go to a buffet on a Holland America ship, you cannot serve yourself. Apparently, the cruise ships have decided that people sharing the serving utensils at buffet lines is one of the ways that the virus, that this norovirus,
I always
is
bring
shared.
My own utensils to serve with when I go to buffets. Yes. I've seen those people.
You can't,
you know who you are.
You can't serve yourself on Holland America. The ship has to serve you, and they say that's one of the reasons that, and plus they just really emphasize to people, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
Just kidding. My wife is always complaining about, you know.
Your wife is always complaining you didn't wash your hands.
That wasn't very sanitary what you did there, Tom.
Okay, let's see here. Acapulco is being, speaking of cruise lines in Holland America, Holland America is deserting Acapulco next year. They've eliminated 8 cruise itinerary stops in Acapulco during 2017 and 2018, citing recent security concerns. They didn't say anything else. Maybe the fact that 461 people were killed in Acapulco in the first half of 2016. Nonetheless, tourism there is very healthy. The mayor says that hotel occupancies are 90%. The other 10% of the people were shot. No, I'm kidding. anyways, if you're going to Acapulco, just be aware that at least some people are thinking it's a little bit more dangerous place to be in. And here is something that's important for you to know. These basic airfares that have come out, they haven't hit direct Sacramento flights yet, but many of the airlines are offering them through different city pairs. You could run into them if you were buying a connecting flight someplace. You see this thing that says basic airfare, stay as far away from it as you can unless you're a student, you're carrying a backpack, you've got nothing else, you don't care if you're in a middle seat, you're the last person to board the plane between an oversized passenger and a screaming child, then and you're willing to pay almost nothing for your seat, then that's the ticket for you. If you don't fit in that category, then be very careful. What's happening around the country as United and American and Delta are rolling out these fares is people are apparently buying them and not realizing what they've bought until they get to the airport. We know this because United sent out a bulletin to all travel agencies, of which Sports Leisure Vacations is one, last week, saying they wanted everybody to recertify that they're having a lot of problems with people getting to the airport and having bought something they didn't know. And anyway, we got more stuff, but that's all we've got time for because we've got a live band in the studio,
we
and
do.
That's the travel news for today.
Yeah, and that's not all. We have Steve LaRosa, who is going to do a brief what's going on around the Sacramento area. We want to thank Steve for being the person to bring in the Rutabaga Boogie Band.
We've got
for
two
us
Hamilton
today.
Tickets to give away later on in the hour. So if you registered for our Hamilton giveaway, we've got the last two tickets that we're going to announce the winner at 3:50, so hang along for that. It is a busy day on the Travel Guys. We take a quick break, and we're back with live entertainment right here at the KFPK studios. We are the Travel Guys.
We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com and watch us live on the KFPK Facebook page. We're going live with the band here in just a minute or two, but first. Steve LaRosa and our semi-annual, every so
kind
often.
Kind of whenever we're in the mood for it.
What's going on?
Yeah, once in
a
while.
As we take a run around all of Northern California for all the cool stuff to do. Steve.
What's going on is back again, fellas, and our first stop is going to be Davis. That's right, right up Interstate 80 there. The first thing I want to talk about is Keep On Truckin', if you ever heard of them. It's a group called Keep On Truckin', and they're doing a tribute to Woodstock, and that's going to be at the Davis Farmers Market at 3rd and C Street, and that's going to be this Wednesday, April 5th.
A lot of people who go to that probably won't remember that they went, because it's a tribute to Woodstock.
That's right. Yeah. And it's free.
A good idea.
It's at 5 o'clock. It's free.
It's free.
And you know, if
do you
it's
know
free,
they closed the Whole Foods in Davis? That was really disappointing to me. I really thought that was kind of an icon in Davis. Never mind. It has nothing to do with travel or
little,
even entertainment.
Little side voyage.
Little All side
right,
voyage there. Yes.
Our next stop is Lincoln.
By train.
Yes, we are. it's the old 324 right
okay,
on schedule.
Okay. Yeah. That's the Thunder Valley train there.
It's comedian Carlos Mencia.
Oh,
he's going to
cool.
be at Thunder Valley Resort. That's going to be this Thursday, April 7th at 7:30. Log on to Ticketmaster for tickets. Next stop is San Francisco. And if you're going to San Francisco, you guys,
what? We pay. We should spare no expense on our
Thank
sound effects
you, band.
Here.
Thank you. The band got it. You guys didn't.
It's a lot of confusion here.
So it's the San Francisco International Film Festival. That's April 5th through the 19th. Now, if you want information on the lineup and screening locations and tickets, log on to sffilm.org. That's sffilm.org. And now we're coming back to Sacramento.
By plane.
Yeah, from Lincoln. They have flights every hour or so from Thunder Valley back
Commander
to Sacramento.
Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, this is exciting. It's the Rutabaga Boogie Band reunion concert.
Oh, who knew?
Well, I did, and that's why I'm here with the band.
Oh,
actually.
Wow. That's the reason all these old guys are in the studio here today.
Exactly.
Go easy.
Hey, they're 60 somethings, but they rock like they're 40 something.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Okay. They're going to be at Harlow's, which is at 2708 J Street in Sacramento. And it's going to be this coming Friday, April 14th. The doors open at 5:30, show at 7, and you can get tickets at harlows.com.
Now, is that the 14th or this coming Friday?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you.
Yes.
You saved my.
I didn't want to go there, and
that's
they're not
all right.
There.
Thank
so week
you.
From
it's
week from
the
this coming Friday. Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes he gets a little ahead of himself.
I am. Yeah. And here they are, live and in person, my friends, my backup band. The Rutabaga Boogie Band.
There we go. All right.
There are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go. There is moonlight in the trees down at Seven Bridges Road.
Oh, two, three, four. A song I wrote in the early 60s, the Rutabaga Boogie Band.
How cool is that?
I thank you, boys.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay, well, do you
got the lovely Lennon sisters about to come?
Yeah, let's quickly. Bob, Russ, Craig, Bill, Larry, Dave, a lot of our listeners have probably heard you guys, seen you guys play for a number of years.
When, how old is the band, Steve?
40. Sorry.
Well, let me go ahead and let
how old are is each individual member? How long has the band been together? Yeah. Or anybody. It doesn't matter.
Is it 40 years, you guys?
43 years. Yeah, 43 years.
Wow. That's amazing. That's exactly the same number of years my poker gang has been together. So you guys didn't know it, but great things happened in that 1 year, you know, 43 years ago.
We made more money.
These guys, actually, in the 70s and 80s, they were playing, five nights a week, you guys?
5 hours a night and 49 weeks out of a year.
And they actually got pretty good at it.
You know, one of the things that I've heard a lot about you guys is that for a local band that, you know, didn't sign a major contract and go down to L.A. and go off to be, you know, stars on that particular stage. You are stars here locally, have drawn really huge crowds at a number of your events, thousands, in fact, up at Thunder Valley, I do believe, not too long ago. So, you know, you're a local phenom, you guys.
And we're really lucky. We love doing it, and we've had so many great, all the people that come to see us. It's been amazing.
Well, it's really a pleasure. In case you just tuned in and you're thinking, wow, I was listening to a travel show and I thought I heard live music in the background, that's exactly what has happened. You're listening to the Travel Guys here on KFBK. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour here in a couple minutes. We have the Rutabaga Boogie Band live in studio.
Yeah, let's do one more all the way up to the break, you guys. What do you got for us?
We got it. Used to do it for money.
All right.
1, 2, 3. Baby, wait, please don't go. Then again, you better leave. I know it's worse than it's ever been. I gotta keep my conscience clean. It's getting late, I gotta go. I ask you, please don't make me stay. Why is it that the things I do, lady, just aren't your way? Always said that you never push, but my back's callous and sore. But all your shoving's got me down, I can't take it anymore. I'm tired and hung, my money's out, this old work has got me down. I drink a lot of beer when I'm up here, I wish that I had one now.
We are the Travel Guys. This is the Rutabaga Boogie Band. You want to see them at Harlow's next Friday the 14th. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you'll find a link to the tickets. When we come back after the news break, we're going to talk about destination weddings right here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Special thanks to Steve LaRosa and the Rutabaga Boogie Band. We'll talk to you right after the news here on KFBK.
You can travel by road, you can fly by
Travel day. Guys on the radio. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Special thanks to Steve LaRosa. Steve, thanks again for bringing in the band.
Yeah.
They sounded pretty good, didn't they?
They sounded terrific. That was so much fun.
It's like they've been practicing or something.
Yeah, I know. And for those, we had 175 people watching it on Facebook.
For people who were just listening on the radio and stuff like that, I mean, getting all of half a dozen people into this studio, plus the three of us, and all the equipment and all of the things and that had to be done for that for an hour before it actually went on the air. But that really is pretty cool. Talk about live radio at its best. So thank you, both of you guys, and all of the guys from the band. And I hope that they have a wonderful concert next Friday night. If I were in town, that is where I would be, because that's really my kind of music. So
another taste of the Rutabaga Boogie Band on with Kitty O'Neill on Wednesday afternoon, and then live in studio and more live music with our buddy Pat Walsh next Wednesday night, right, Steve?
At 8 o'clock, from what I hear.
Get a ticket and see them next Friday night at Harlow's. That's the way to do it. Thank you again, Steve. We shift gears now, and we're going to talk about destination weddings. Our travel gal, Jessica Monsell, is on the line with us. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, good afternoon, Mark and Tom. How are you all doing today?
Well, we're doing pretty good.
We all doing good, Jessica.
If you were here, we had live music in the last segment. An old rock and roll band here from Sacramento is making a little bit of a comeback, and we had them live in the studio. So we're kind of pumped up here this afternoon. So
fantastic.
It didn't have a whole lot to do with travel, except that those guys have traveled a lot of miles and they're still around. And so we're going to talk about destination weddings, because here we are in the spring and it's that time when the wedding bells are starting to ring and people spend a tremendous amount of money to go to far-flung places to get married. Their guests spend a lot of money. Vendors make a lot of money in faraway places. And so, Jessica, you have written a wonderful article, and we have a link to it at travelguysradio.com. All the things that we're going to talk about here that talks about the pros and cons of destination weddings.
Yeah, so I wrote this piece, this project, really, for Fromers.com. And it's a great piece for anyone looking to plan a destination wedding, be it here in the States or abroad. I actually got married in Mexico myself about 12 years ago. So, and around that time, I think it was coming into the mainstream, destination weddings. But now it seems that everybody is doing a destination wedding. So some of the things to think about when you start planning a destination wedding is, first of all, decide whether or not you need to legally wed in a foreign country, because that is one of the toughest things to accomplish. And even 12 years later, I'm actually not entirely sure if I'm legally married, because we got married in Mexico and then came back to New York City, where I was working at the time. And there are certain administrative formalities that you have to undertake. And I think I did them right, but I never really got a clear picture on that. So, you know, one of the ways to avoid that is, of course, to get married in your town at, you know, town hall. You know, that can just be the two of you, and then have your ceremony abroad be a more, you know, symbolic ceremony with all the bells and whistles.
Got it. You know, I really hadn't indeed crossed my mind that if you get you would have to make plans to, if you're marrying in a foreign country, that it may not be legal. Question for you is this, Jessica. Is there a chance that some people, I've thought this on more than one occasion when I've known people that have had destination weddings, and sometimes they're Disney cruises and sometimes they're off to the Hawaii or whatever. And sometimes I almost think that they're doing it because, well, it's great for the bride and groom, but, you know, a destination wedding oftentimes means a much, much smaller wedding, because you're pricing a lot of your friends and some of your family out of being able to attend the actual wedding in some exotic places. And, you know, I wonder if sometimes there isn't a little bit of a behind-the-scenes conspiracy. Say, well, you know, we can sure save on a lot of drama if we just have a small group in Hawaii.
So what's the pros and cons of that, Jessica? Overall, do guests appreciate destination weddings, or are they too costly and forget it?
Well, I think a lot of people feel the way you just described, that they get this invitation in the mail and it's like, you know, you've got to now plan, you've got to set money aside, you've got to change maybe other vacation plans that you had in mind for the year in order to attend this wedding. Or you just say, you know what, forget it, we can't go, the bride and groom will understand. Because a lot of people may be in that situation. So if you really want your extended family and all your friends to go to the wedding and be present, you're really going to have to pick a place that's convenient to get to and, you know, not too exotic and far flung, because that's going to cost people way too much money. And never mind what they might give you as a gift. You should, consider their presence at your wedding perhaps their gift to you, just being there. It's an expensive endeavor, for sure.
Jessica, let's run down a few things here that will help folks who are planning a destination wedding. How far in advance should you start planning something like this?
Well, if you are concerned about getting a particular location, you want to start thinking about it at least a year in advance, because those most sought-after locations will book up pretty quickly. If you are not so particular about a specific location, be it at a particular beach or a hotel or a church, then you can probably get it done more quickly. For example, I planned my wedding in just 6 months, but I was probably the rare, really low maintenance bride who just wanted to show up and and have a good time and, you know, have my family and just my close family was there. So, you can do it more quickly if you need to, but if you're really particular about where it's going to be, you really need more time.
Now, we're talking with Jessica Monsell on The Travel Guys. We're talking about destination weddings. Jessica, I know the answer to this. You said in your article here that you recommend visiting your venue ahead of time. I'm a man who plans tours for people, and I rarely send people someplace that I haven't been there ahead of time to stay in the hotels, eat in the restaurants, just to get the lay of the land, as we call it. Do you recommend that if someone's planning a destination wedding, that they make that trip to check out the venue in person?
Absolutely. And again, that's going to add to your overall cost, of course, if you're going a year in advance. But you need to sit down with the team of people who are going to be helping on the day of the event. You want to also, for example, if you need your hair done by a professional, you want to run through and have, you know, hair and makeup trials. You want to talk about the food that's going to be served, and you need to do all that on site. It's really hard to do that from you know, over email and through phone calls. It's really best done on site. And
there's no excuse. There's no substitute, I will tell folks also, for going there in person, talking to the people you're going to do business with. You've never met these people before. You going there in person tells them that you're serious about what you're doing, and there'll be way fewer misunderstandings later on if you go there in person. And doing your homework is really important. In your article, Jessica, you talk about not only going there, but doing your homework, looking for all-inclusive packages, using local vendors. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, don't bring people with you. Use the local people.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to get the best deals if you find the right people, of course, locally. And then, you know, you really also want to check the contract. You know, I didn't do too much looking at that contract. I was much younger then. You know, I made the mistake of assuming that I could have my wedding dinner at any of the 8 restaurants at the resort where we got married. And actually, they told me it was just 1 of 3. So I didn't get to have my dinner at the restaurant I would have liked to have had it at. And so,
it sounds like part of that was because you didn't do your homework quite as you could have.
That's right. And I knew that I trusted the company probably a little too much. I mean, everything went well, but I probably should have known more in advance than
Jessica,
I did.
What if you were going to leave somebody with, you've written this article now, and there are a lot of great tips in it. Again, if you want some information on destination weddings, Jessica's article can be found, a link to it, at travelguysradio.com. One parting big tip that you would share with somebody, what was the biggest thing in your experience, or as you were writing this article, the one thing that stood out to you the most?
Well, I would say the biggest thing is to know what the legal requirements are for whichever country you go to if you're going abroad. Of course, if you get married in any number of the beautiful destinations within the United States, it's a lot easier. And then, you know what the local customs are as well. You know, you want to have everyone be happy and comfortable, and you know, knowing what to expect is really, really the best advice I can give. And, you know, you'll get that by visiting in advance, by talking to some of the local people and to the people who'll be working on your event that day.
I have one tip, and I think you'll go along with this, Jessica. You know, you're doing all this planning, and you're at a destination that's far away. And even when you have a wedding that isn't, that's right here, and as far as the bride is concerned, you need to have yourself a friend or somebody who is somewhat of a professional wedding planner, or better yet, a wedding orchestrator, somebody that when you have the wedding, you don't have to, as the bride, you don't have to
think
about
it. You're not in charge. Somebody else is in charge.
Somebody else is telling the band when to start and when to play.
Even if that costs a few dollars, you would say that's money well spent.
And if you're having it at a destination, you know, here again, you're supposed to be enjoying yourself and having a good wedding. Last question, do you honeymoon in the same place as your destination wedding?
Well,
or do you go to another destination?
I was very fortunate in that I went to another destination after we left Mexico. We went to French Polynesia, which was amazing. So, you know, not everybody can do that. A lot of people take these package vacation wedding trips in order to save money. So, you know, that's one way to do it, is to have your wedding and honeymoon all rolled into one. But then attendees should also understand that if that's the case, you know, give the bride and groom some breathing room. Don't expect to spend a whole lot of time with the couple. You know, attend those group activities when the couple announces them. But, you know, try to make the most of your own time there as a guest. And I think that'll make everybody happy.
Jessica Monsell, our travel gal, talking about destination weddings. Again, you can find all of her tips all bundled into a neat article. The link is at travelguysradio.com. Jessica, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Coming up at...
Doggone it. Turn the mic off again.
Coming up after the...
Yeah, coming up after the break, videographer Matt Dockery is going to join us. He does... videos and pictures of these destination wedding people.
And he's from Key West, so he does destination weddings. He sees, Jessica was talking about planning it. Matt sees what happens when it's actually done. So he's going to be with us. Before we do that, we need to announce our Hamilton winner here.
Hamilton winner time.
So you've got 10 minutes to call us here at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Again, that's 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Karen Slater is our winner, S-L-A-T-E-R. Karen, give us a call at KFBK before the show is over, and you have won two tickets to see the hit show Hamilton in San Francisco, courtesy of the Travel Guys. We'll be right back with Matt Dockery and more on destination weddings after this. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. We always talk about where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations and the underwriter for this program. And today, Sports Leisure Vacations is on its way to Ireland. Clayton Whitehead is taking a group to Ireland today to stay in those castles. I think we talked about this on the radio.
Incredible trip.
So, yeah, sounds like fun. We have two tickets to Hamilton to give away. And on the line joining us, I think, is our winner, Karen Slater. Hi, Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Right. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, and congratulations.
I am so excited. I cannot believe this. We listened last week while we were watching the Carolina game at the Wild Wings. We were streaming online. And then this weekend, we are actually in South Carolina. We took the red eye from Sacramento last night, got here this morning, and... set our alarm to listen to the radio, and so we've been driving for the last 40 minutes listening to all your stories. All good ones, yes, very good, but we were dying because we were exhausted.
Yes, and when are they going to say the name?
That's right.
Well, sorry we made you wait so long, but that is quite a story. I mean, that's called devotion, a well-deserved win.
It sounds
for
like
you,
the right
Karen.
Person won. If you if you were that dedicated to making sure you created enough good karma, Karen, that you're in business.
Awesome.
We have your telephone number, so we will be in your email address, so we will be in touch with you. Congratulations on your good fortune. You are going to see Hamilton.
I'm so excited. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Travel Guys. Another happy listener. We're going to have Neil Diamond is coming to Sacramento on his 50th anniversary tour in August. And later on this summer, we are going to have some tickets to give away to that.
Oh, boy.
So, there you go. Matt Dockery joins us on the Travel Guys here. We were just talking about destination weddings with Jessica Monsell. Matt is a videographer. We've got about 5 minutes here. And Matt works in Key West. And he does destination weddings for a living. Isn't that right, Matt?
That is true. Good day, Mark, Tom. How you guys doing?
Hey.
All right. Great, Matt. How many and how often do you do destination weddings? How popular is this?
It's extremely popular. In Key West, the Florida Keys hit the top spot on the list for destinations in America last year. So we get many, many, many weddings. I see them quite literally every single day of the year.
Matt, what would you say is the Key West is known for some pretty interesting weather, especially in the summertime. What would you say is the one or two p- pitfalls that people who do destination weddings run into that they might not expect, or things that maybe they could avoid if they did their homework a little better?
That is a very good question. I always suggest that everyone hires a planner to help them out. And one good thing about having a planner is they always have tricks up their sleeves and they always have a backup plan. So if you're coming to a place that you're not super familiar with and it starts to rain on you, well, you might not know where to go. But if you've hired yourself a planner, they will for sure have a backup plan for you.
Ah, and that's something that Jessica mentioned also. So that's having some kind of a wedding coordinator, especially. What about on the day of, Matt? You're the guy taking the pictures and stuff out there. What do you see? What happens at destination weddings on the big day, that good, bad, or otherwise?
That's a really good question, too. Here's what I see the most of. When people travel, they tend to leave their minds back home. And so when people come here on these big parties for a wedding, people like to have a little bit too much fun. So one big piece of advice that I give a lot of new couples is watch your friends, warn them, make sure they show up on time, make sure they don't get over-intoxicated for these big parties. That happens more frequently than you would believe.
Oh, yeah. Matt, since you are in the business of being a videographer and photographing and shooting film for a lot of these weddings, what advice would you give a bride and groom that's going to do a destination wedding in regards to selecting someone, which is one of the most important things, and that's the memories of the wedding, the photos and the videos? What kind of questions do you ask?
So one thing that I think everyone should do is call the people you hire, call your vendors. And that means call your photographer, call your videographer, call your planner, call your caterer, call the florist, and speak to them verbally. A lot of companies avoid having a phone number on their website, and they do that, I guess, so that they can just get booked online and collect the money, show up and do the job. But there's something about having a over-the-phone conversation with somebody when you really can start to establish some trust. And it's your most important day. Obviously, you want it to be really great. If you haven't established that trust with somebody, well, then you're putting your big day at risk. And so I think everyone should have that conversation with their vendors, each and every one of them.
And one thing that Jessica was talking about, too, is taking the time to actually go to the destination. Someone who is from California, who was thinking about getting married in Key West, you got to go there and get the vibe and, like I said, the lay of the land. It doesn't hurt at all to meet people just like yourself, to be able to so that everybody's expectation, you think, is on the same page when the big day comes.
Absolutely. If you have the ability to show up to your destination wedding location before your big date, you're doing yourself a great service. Going to Key West, you know, a lot of people have a different expectation of Key West. And when they show up, they always say the same thing. Wow, it's so much different than I expected it to be. It's still a wonderful, colorful, tropical paradise community. But it's a lot different than people expect it to be. I don't know how or why that is, but if you can get the chance to come here and see it and experience it for what it is before you spend your most important day here, you have really, really done yourself a favor.
We have under a minute, Matt. Can you give me a 30-second horror story of one of the things that went badly?
That's a good question. One of my best stories in that regard, I was filming a wedding at Fort Zachary Taylor, which is a beach here in Key West, a beautiful beach, and it started lightning and storming heavily right at the moment of the ceremony.
Oh, boy.
And it came down cats and dogs for about 30 minutes. And the bride and the groom, as soon as it started, everyone freaked out, and we started trying to get everyone undercover. But they actually went through with the ceremony, and everyone just spoke up a little bit more. We got a couple umbrellas over the cameras, and they followed through with everything. And now I have this really great video of a ceremony that took place during a storm, and it's kind of cute.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us today on The Travel Guys. Appreciate your time, buddy. We will talk to you soon. More on destination weddings. Hope that you got some good information there. We will see you next week. We're going to talk about the Portland Rose Festival. We'll hit the mailbag. See you on The Travel Guys. Remember to dance like nobody's watching.